Good morning. On this Sunday morning, the 28th of November, 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio, this is PJ. Thank you for joining me. Eric Reed in the background. Come Sunday. I'm going to talk about a little bit as you think, so you are. And it has to do with our individual spirituality, if you will. Universal spirituality is changing the face of Christianity. That's right. It has come in. It has changed Christians throughout, even myself. In a particular area of my life. And I'm sure that you figured that it's changed you too. My biggest heartbreak these days is for people who think they know what God is trying to say to them and make up various ideas to carry on. Well, today we're going to have a good time looking at these things in a very practical way. The New Age movement inspired this sense of change in many conservative Christians. And I don't want to pounce on the New Age movement because I am, in a very particular way, a part of that movement. I've moved away from what Christianity in this country taught because of the inconsistencies, the hypocrisies, the avid hatred, and non-justifiable disposition or curving of behavior of Christians. This is Sunday morning. If I were still in a church, I'd be behind my pulpit with an exegetical text bringing or attempting to bring about in the minds of the believers the correct kind of behavior in their lives. That's what I'd be doing. But this attitude, this disposition stemmed from the conviction that something evil and sinister, that is, surrounded this movement that came in and swept away like an ominous cloud moving in slowly on the spiritual horizon. In the 90s, the backlash went away and most Christians forgot or ignored what seemed so threatening just a few years earlier. But the movement definitely has not gone away. As a matter of fact, this movement is so much with us today and has so engulfed the Christian church that many Christians are not surprised and shocked or bewildered by what is taking place. Because what's happened is what we call Gnostic and Eastern spirituality is and has and will continuously take hold on the minds of Westerners. Not because God has failed in any way, but the teachings concerning God has failed. I want to take my time with this study because I want to share it with you in a very overt, practical way and so that you will understand this. I think that we are right on the threshold You know, a friend of mine in Tennessee, we talked about this just a little bit, you know, about the last days. Then I have a friend of mine across the Pacific and near China over there, Taiwan. I've discussed it with him. Is the last days really approaching us? You know, we can read all throughout our Bibles and, you know, about eschatology, the end times, and then we can compare where we are today with what the Bible says about the end of the world. There are many, many people in this age of, what do we call it, the age of advancement. I think that that's what's happened. Our technology has taken us so far that, let me get this light over here. There we go. Our technology has taken us so far that we don't want to believe in what we used to call the simple things. In the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I believe that the Bible is, and I still believe it, because when I look at what has happened and how, and like I'll admit to myself, here it is, we're coming upon the Christmas holidays, right? And, man, you know, we're not, Christianity teaches that we ought not be materialists. And Black Friday is, it's, man, wait a minute. Kids going around Nordstrom's. Now I heard that a group of individuals went in Home Depot and started taking these hammers off of the shelf and running out and getting in their cars and taking off. Well, you know what they're going to do? With these sledgehammers and axes and stuff like that, they're going to go in the most expensive stores and just start wreaking havoc. They know that there's not enough police to protect the store owners to keep their business safe. There used to be, when you went to a mall, when you went in, let's say, where I live in Beverly Hills, or up and down the Miracle Mile on Wilshire Boulevard, you can go to the Grove and walk through there and enjoy the nice Christmas. Not now, because a gang of youngsters may bust out and just try to wreak havoc all over the blooming place. That's where we are today. So we see the evidences of the abandonment of our faith. Even as I speak, it's Sunday morning, and I'm not feeling 100%. As a matter of fact, I mentioned to you the other day about a bleeding problem that I have in my bladder, and I better go and get that taken care of the first of this week. And it's not an emergency. I'm not, you know, it's not like that, but I'm kind of concerned about it. I'm aging. I'm old. But I still want to tell you that we are living in times where, oh, yeah, I see my neighbors are walking, trying to stay well. God bless them, and I hope that they're able to do it. I see a lot of people just suffering now. But many of these people that I'm speaking of, and like myself, who has left that old-time religion, find that we are susceptible to different belief systems. But am I carnal because I've left something that, and I think that's a good question. Am I carnal because I have left something that I believed in most of my life? I haven't left God. I haven't left off the faith. Wait a minute. You know what? Let's look at cancer, okay? How long has cancer been eating away at people? Cancer has been eating away ever since it's been on the planet. So has the other forms of diseases that have shrouded our existence as human beings. One of the scriptures that the clergy in Christianity used for years was the scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, you believe also in me." And I'm just quoting it verbatim. I'm not reading out of the Bible. And Jesus went on and said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself." Oh, my goodness. I see this. I see my neighbor's walking. He's walking his wife. She must have been ill. And just stricken with COVID. Sometimes people are stricken with COVID and he's trying to walk. Yes, I know where they live, down the street from me. People are ill. People are dropping sick. You know, I was speaking with my cousin last night, and he was telling me, this is my first cousin, my father's brother's second born. And he said he's on dialysis. He asked me if I had a kidney to give up. I said, "What?" And he told me he's in dialysis twice a week. I remember when we were both young. He was a young and vibrant attorney at law, and I had just gotten involved in Christianity, a young pastor. He would come by and visit the church as it was in a growing stage, and he used to say, "Cousin, I'm so proud of you. You're doing just what you're supposed to do. And I really appreciate Junior." That's what I call him. I really appreciate Junior. But he's on dialysis. And I told him, I says, "Man, I'm passing blood in my urine now." He said, "Bro, you better go get that checked out." I said, "Yeah, I will. You know, I'm not in any pain, so it feels like you know, the prostate, because I had prostate problems before. And so, but if that's the way I'm going to be taken out, and now here's where my faith worked, then I'm taken out. I went to bed last night. I got to tell you the truth. And I said, "Oh my God, this is, I don't think it's going to go away. I better go to the doctor." But then I asked myself, why, John, do you want to go to the doctor? Why? Because you're afraid of dying? No, it's not that. Because I have this to do. You see, this is my bully pulpit. I'm still talking to people, and some people have a greater fear of death. Nobody wants to die. The most precious thing that God has given each and every one. Remember, as man thinketh, so he is. God is the one that brought forth this life. When you look at the way sperm and an egg comes together, and out of all of the spermatozoa that is spewed in the female system, only one sperm will cultivate that egg of the female. And from that, a human has all of the characteristics of both parents and has basically inherited everything from those two people into the child. And to watch that child, you know, they have a marvelous, you've probably seen the commercial. And I know football is on. It's Sunday morning here in Los Angeles around 11 minutes after 10, and I would be watching the kickoffs now and listening to the commentators. But I'm a pastor at heart. You're right, Kenny. I'm a pastor. I can't stop doing what God told me to do. Way back, years ago, I'm still doing it. That is absolutely the only reason why I am still alive on this planet today. That's the only reason. Now, I want to continue to take you through this as we investigate these wonderful opinions. How can you recognize true godly teaching in the first place? I'm not trying to talk about Joel Osteen, because I believe that if Joel has gotten rich doing what he does, there is a reason for that. There's a reason for everything. But how can you recognize who and what is proper teaching for you? And how do you know if you look at that book, the Bible, how do you know if Paul the Apostle was telling the truth about what he wrote? And that's what I want to get into, because I believe that what I want to do is I want to assist us to investigate these kinds of questions today, because as you listen, you think that, and that becomes what you believe. So I'm going to attempt to open this up. You know, when Paul says in the latter times, men are going to depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits. How do you know? How did he know? Did he have the ability to look down a 2,000-year-old mandate and make the call? So, we are trying to answer that question, because as we think, so we are. Were these words written to alert the true church of the coming of danger in a real world that we live in? Many people today would say, oh, heck no, John. Come on, man, that book is just a book like any other esoteric religious book. It's put there to keep us fluctuating in our minds. Well, we must first examine the magnitude and the influence of these new teachings that is so carrying us all away. And when you look at it, because, you know, I'm telling you, I was looking at, what was it, educational TV, KCET here in Los Angeles, that commercial-free television, but they show enough commercials, and they said that if pain is racking your body, they said they had a whole new program last night that you can get 5 CDs to listen to music and to concentrate and meditate on other things, that the pain will go away. Hey, guess what? They're right. And when you look at the Christian church, they said if you're in pain like that, meet with 2 or 3 brothers, and they would come by and lay hands on you and pray, and the pain will go away. If you believe it, the pain will go away. And in the same way, if you look at these, we used to call them secular meditative genres, well, the pain will go away there too. It's the same thing. Pain's still going to dissipate. Doesn't make any difference in which way or whoever uses that, it will go away. So how do we discern it? How do we come to know what is right for us to believe and What should we do? We have to look at what has been done to society that we live in today. And then we have to define what all of these sayings and teachings involve. Okay? And this is done on an individual basis. Sociologists, one has said, that the University of California at Santa Barbara, that's the school that Mario Canto got his bachelor's degree from. Mario lived with me for 13 years. Mario is now in Papua New Guinea doing his life's work. He's really making a difference. And I think he's a good person to capitalize, to talk about, because he told me there's nothing in America for me to do but to get a job and to keep doing the same thing, have my head spinning, running in circles, and I'll end up helping no one but my body catch on to a cancer, and I'll die crippled. And I said, Mario, how can you say that about this country? We offer so much for everyone. He said, oh, man, you offered. You took, really, and my daughter still taunt me about this. They tell me, they said, John, Daddy, you taking your money and you help that guy, and what good? Has he ever paid you rent? Has he ever paid you back? No. I don't want to pay back. I didn't do it for the payback. See, that's the American way. The godly way, I like the old dictum that we like to quote, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's all I did with Canto. But the sociologists at the University of California, Santa Barbara, estimate that as many as 12 million Americans could be considered active participants, and another 30 million are avidly interested in New Age religions because they've given a thumbs down on Christianity. It was in 2002 when I built this website that you're listening to me on. A Bradley University religious studies professor, a guy named Robert C. Fuller, not only verified the findings that Americans were shifting from what Christianity was teaching, but actually increased the figures to an astonishing 20% of Americans. That's 40 million people who now embrace other religions and other modes of seeking to reach God or to eliminate the difficulty. Now, like I said, in many ways, I am a part of that. And there's nothing wrong with me being a part of that. As a matter of fact, I think that it's decent. But you may say, well, John, how do we establish these stats that you're just quoting? Well, I read a lot, you know, but let's look at the law of the market. Supply, as a rule, corresponds to the demand. What I mean by that is that if Christianity was indeed doing its best, listen to what I'm saying, because the way these preachers jump up and down, holler and scream, and now you got your auntie behind the pulpit screaming, acting a fool, laying, now they got them doing the bounce, the bump, bumping and grinding, doing the R. Kelly, I believe I can fly, all this mess. I would not blame most people from running from the church. I'd run from it too. Looks like a blooming insane asylum. But supply, as a rule, corresponds to the demand. Business people usually live or die by the rule of supply and demand. And there's a continual large supply of any commodity indicates a large demand. And so when you have all of these faiths come up, all of these kinds of belief systems come up. And if you find people grappling toward it and leaving which, you know, something that we thought was substantial, then we've been hoodwinked. We've been bedazzled. You know what I mean. It's as simple as that. And since the New Age books and everything is selling, look at MacArthurism. He started writing books as an opposition to the New Age. No. Look into what they're saying in that New Age, and let's see if it can be substantiated. Yes. That's the way you do it. But you know what? A lot of people are afraid of that. Recent books have sold so well, we can now call this a cultural phenomenon, one person has said. And I could name some, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm just, you know, here's one. There's a book called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. That book has impacted basically tens of millions of people. And then the Deepak Chopra. I remember years ago when I was on the radio as a Christian commentator, I used to speak against that. But some of the things that he teaches, and we Christians, when I, you know, was an evangelical, I used to call him a New Age guru, very popular with the celebrities. But then when you see it topping the charts at Barnes and Noble's top-selling book in the year 1996, when I was at my preaching peak, something must be going on there. Then there's this therapeutic touch, because everybody has a therapist now, and you know that. We're living in this age. I recall when I had my open heart surgery. I was in the bed in the hospital, and my daughters were there visiting me, and the cardiologist, whatever you call it, they were at my bed, and another nurse. And then another guy came in and asked, hey, and who are you? You know, I've always been, you know, well, I'm a therapist. I said, and what do I need a therapist for? I've never went to a therapist or visited a therapist in my life. I don't need a therapist. And my oldest daughter today said, oh, daddy, now listen to the doctor. I said, hell no, get out of here. Well, we want to know if you're safe enough to go home. I'm safe enough to go home if you let me out of here. What do I have to do to go home? They said, oh, you have to be able to get up in his bed and walk around this corridor of this hospital four or five times that we know. Oh, I tried to get out of bed then, and that was the day after surgery. And they said, no, daddy, wait. I wanted to get away from them. Don't be giving me no therapist. But most people think that they need a therapist, that therapeutic touch. According to ABC News, a number of years ago, therapeutic touch has been performed on millions, I mean millions of Americans. That's why we've given up on the church. That's why our churches are closed. One magazine years ago called The Common Boundary is a New Age book in the field of counseling and doing psychotherapy, disclosed in the year 1994, that its press run had reached 30,000 copies bimonthly. Now, that was back in 1994. You can imagine where it is today in the year 2021. Now you see why I, where's my water? It's on the other side of the room. I'll pick it up. Now you see why I figure I have to continue to do what I'm doing. And those of us that want to subscribe to a biblical frame of reference, don't feel like you're losing your mind. Don't feel like basically this is the end of the world and Everybody is against me, and I'm all alone. And no. This is the natural way of humanity. If you really want to see how religion has changed the world, and I keep telling you to get that movie, Apocalypto, the Mel Gibson masterpiece. Watch it. Our whole system can come to an end, just like Jaguar Paul's system came to an end. Now, you may want to ask the question, why or how, PJ, did this massive growth take place in just a short amount of time? And why does its outer structure seem to be invisible? In other words, did we see it coming? Yeah, we saw it coming. The technology, look at this. We're hailing a technological super event. Put your behind on a rock. Wait a minute. When the Apollo system first came out years ago, when I was a far younger man, they used to show us what NASA put those men through. I got to set up straight, keep my back straight. Miguel told me that if I don't want to slouch over, keep my back straight, even in my studio chair. And that's what I'm trying to do. Oh, that's much better, much better. Well, we have to ask some questions. Why do so many people just think that the New Age thing is a fad? It's not a fad. It's a new form of religion. And why do even some people that call themselves Christians think that it is now history? Well, let's ask why they call it the New Age in the first place. I was born in February the 8th, so